At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Ever wonder what it's like to care for the living and the not so living?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, 855-853-4802 is our phone number if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. Caring for the living and the not-so-living. I'm curious as to what that's alluding to. In terms of the not so living, does that mean like having bodies in your house or something? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm assuming bodies or ghosts or something like that.
I don't know. Did you hear about Lisa Marie Presley and her son?
No. What's going on with that?
Well, you know, he died, obviously. Right. And she's dead too. She had, let me pull up the story because I want to be accurate on this. Kept her son's body for 2 months after his death. No.
How?
On dry ice.
What the heck?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've never had to go through something like that, and I hope to God I never do. But that's like literally, I don't know. I can't say that's probably a healthy way of grieving by any means, but kept him. I mean, that's what came to mind when I read that headline of caring for the, you know, the dead on dry ice in the house.
That can't be. I mean, that's not legal, is it? I mean,
I think it is. I mean, because at best, I guess you could say it's, you know, you're not like abusing a corpse. You're keeping everything the way it should be. I mean, it's
so if a family member died, you could just keep him in your house on dry ice and you wouldn't have to bury him or anything.
I don't
There's
know.
Got to be laws against that.
I'd imagine at some point there is. I don't know.
I'm just thinking Memphis, the police there, everything that Elvis did in the day.
Yeah.
They probably look at that and go, that's nothing. You keep that body on ice all you want. We've got plenty of other stories that when not, you know.
I would imagine so. It's probably not high on anybody's list where it's until it turns into Norman Bates, which. I mean,
if you want to have fun sometime, drive down Elvis Presley Boulevard in Memphis. It is absolutely crazy gross.
It's the most disgusting city I've ever been. It's right up there. It's up there.
You're driving along. There's hookers. There's blow. There's all this. There's just crud. And then all of a sudden, the gates of Graceland. You know, it's like really weird.
Yeah, the gates of Graceland. Then you have Beale Street downtown where it's basically shot out, burned out buildings. And then suddenly Beale Street. You go off Beale Street. There's a good chance you're going to get mugged. Then there's like the Peabody and you kind of like get out of your car and go straight into the building.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's, and then there's the Bass Pro on the Pyramid Building, which is off by itself. You know, it's like, you can see the destruction and the burned out city up on the hill, but you're kind of down from it. So you feel like you're okay there on, the Pyramid Island. But no, I'm not a fan. That's St. Louis is the No, Memphis. No,
it's Memphis.
Memphis is a pyramid. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's I'm just not a fan. I've been there many times. The St. Jude is there. Great hospital. They have a great campus. Again, it's kind of an island to itself, though. It's an icky city, and I feel bad.
Yeah, no, I want to like it. Could be so cool, you know.
I know
so much great music out of that location,
so much and history.
My goodness, yeah,
yeah. I want to like it. I really do, but it's just like I wouldn't fucking stay there if I don't have to. And like, anyway, yeah. So that was Lisa Marie's Sun on Ice. That's
it's creepy.
A little bit, just a bit. Anyway, let's go to our phone call. 855-853-4802, is the phone number, and we'll figure out what this one's about with the living, or the dead. It's, this call right here.
I am a nurse from Indiana, and I have worked as a hospice nurse for the last, almost 2 years. And I just left a job where our facility was haunted. We were fifth floor of a hospital, which is the hospice unit. It had used to be part of an experimental drug unit. And now it had two sides. One was our hospice side that had 7 rooms for patients. The other side were offices used for that were locked at night. And of course I worked the midnight shift most times. So there would be nobody in those offices at night, and there would be one nurse and one aide to take care of our patients. It ranged from 1 to 7 patients. The unit was locked, so the only way in was if security let you in. So it was quiet. We had a nurse's station. We had a kitchen area, we had storage areas, and we had another large storage area down the empty side of the hall that housed a refrigerator. It was a room down there that housed extra beds and a refrigerator, but you only went in there if you had to store your stuff. But one time we were working nights, and I had a patient that was actively passing, so I was in his room quite often, and the adjoining room had been dark most of the night, and in the middle of the night, as I'm leaving the room of my patient, I noticed the light coming in from the empty room, and went in and looked and found the TV on. Well, the TV, in order to turn the TV on, was from a remote that had been attached to the wall on the call light button kind of a thing, and you had to walk around the bed to turn it on. So the TV was fuzzy, and didn't think anything of it, and thought maybe just I hadn't noticed it previously all night because I was busy with my patients who had been passing. And I went and turned off the TV and went out the room and into the hall and went down to the nurse's station and came back about another 15 minutes later to check on my patient, and happened to look into the room again, and the TV was on again. And I thought, wow, this is kind of strange. So I called my aide down to look at it with me, because we've had happenings going on in this unit for quite a while. So we're a little jumpy when things like this happen. So I called her in, and I had her stand by the door while I walked into the room to check the TV. And on the TV screen was a picture of a crucifix staring down brightly. And I didn't know where this was coming from. And it was just like a live feed. It looked like from a chapel area. Well, we went and into another patient's room closer to the nurse's station and tested the different channels to see if this same image was showing up on other TVs. And sure enough, it had been, it was the live feed from our chapel on a lower floor. So I went in, I went back to the room where this TV was on. And as I had my aide stand by the door, I walked into the room around the side of the bed to turn this TV off again for the second time, and turned the TV off, made sure it was off, walked out of the room again. And both of us had said that if this TV turns back on again, we are out of here. We're leaving our patients and abandoning the floor because this was getting too freaky. Well, the next morning I asked, when I got relieved, I talked to the other nurses and I asked about that room and if they remember who had been in it why that channel, because I don't remember ever seeing the live feed channel and why that channel would have been on in that room. And we come to find out through a little bit of investigation that the last woman patient to use that room had watched the church channel, would watch the mass from the third floor, but she had died about 2 or 3 weeks previous, and that room had not been used since. So it was kind of eerie that she came back and she turned on the TV for me so that I could watch this image of Christ shining on the bed. So that was, that really freaked us out. One of the other things is that this unit had 7 rooms, and the last 2 rooms had very strange feelings coming from them. People who were sensitive to that kind of stuff felt bad presence in both rooms 6 and 7. We hardly ever used them, but occasionally. But it was my job every night as I came on duty to check each room and go in and make sure everything was okay. And in room 7, I had gone, not suspecting anything, just walked into the room to check it. I walked to the window, and as I walked to the window, I heard a kind of gurgling sound, like, coming from the corner of the room. And I turned around, hightailed it, and ran out of that room faster than I'd ever run before to the nurse's station to get my aid. And I had never heard that kind of a sound coming from an empty room. Almost tripped over myself running out of there, trying to get away from that. With my aide again, we were always a team. I walked back down there, and we didn't see anything in the room. The room was dark, and nothing. We could find nothing. From then, I would, if I had to, when I came on duty, I would check all the rooms while it was still daylight and shut the door and make sure that those doors were shut tight so that nobody would, I didn't have to go back in there at night anymore. So these kind of things happened, or that room, it happened one more time. About a month or two later, I had to walk in there actually with a patient in the room and heard that sound again coming from the same area. And it was just a gurgling growl kind of a noise. And but I had a patient in there and not sure where, why, or how that, who was making that sound. Again, we have many other stories, and come after about 6 to 8 months of this, where it got to the point where none of us wanted to go to work, or if we did, I mean, you were just, things were going to happen and it was scary to go to work anymore. The boss had come in and actually had the stuff happen to her. And so shortly after that, we've got a member of the parish, the church affiliation, came in and blessed every room, every door, every possible spot in that, and on our floor, in our facility, blessed them, said a prayer in each room, each and every room. And shortly thereafter, all the strange occurrences stopped, to the dismay of my sister, who loves this kind of stuff, and I would have to call into her nightly and give her an update. We even set up recordings. I set up a televised thing trying to get some kind of action going down this hall that would make noises where we would hear doors slamming. And then the currents have stopped for about the last 2 months of me working there. And fortunately, I have left that position and now work a full-time day job with hospice also, but do not have to return to the midnight occurrences of that hospice facility. Thank you and have a great evening.
Thanks for sharing that story with us. Thoughts on all that?
Amazing. And, you know, there's so many stories about hospitals and nursing homes, and it's hard for me to believe that somebody could hear these stories, realize what these buildings are. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people do pass away and all that kind of stuff, and think that it's nothing. I think it's interesting that they brought in some religious folks to bless it, and it seemed to clear up after that, although it makes complete sense to me. And, yeah, the, I think whether or not there were ghosts involved, the fact that there would be like a crucifix or Jesus looking down at you from a TV would be scary enough by itself. I would have just shut the thing off, unplugged the thing, and ran out the door.
Wasn't there an, I think I'm remembering this correctly, in an episode of Unsolved Mysteries, the original one, where it was a ghostly episode, and didn't like something on a TV screen, like a crucifix or something, like start to turn, and then like it showed like all these people like in an old folks home, like watching it and turning their heads with it?
Oh my God, I don't remember that, but now I'm going to look it up. And if there is one, I'm going to watch it tonight.
I swear to God, it's in one of those episodes. It would have been on the, when they did that DVD collection like 20 years ago with all the ghost episodes. It would have been one of those. Because I
know
I've seen
it. Are you sure it's not Halloween 3 with the masks from Silver Shamrock?
No, I would have never seen that.
Halloween 3 has nothing to do with Halloween 1 and 2, right?
No, I never watched Halloween 3, so I don't know.
Oh, you got to watch it. It is so cheesy.
Really?
And it goes completely off the rails. It's about a company that makes masks for kids.
Okay. But
what they want to do is they want all the kids to have their masks on and then watch a TV commercial at a specific time on Halloween night. Uh-huh. And then like snakes come out of their skulls.
Oh, God.
I'm serious. It's like this big plan by this evil corporation, and that's what it's based on. So when you talk about like watching the TV like cross-turning, it sounds just like that.
Oh, wow. That sounds horribly cheesy.
It's ridiculously cheesy.
So is Halloween 4, does that pick up with the old storyline?
It goes back because there was such an outcry. In fact, I think it's called Halloween 3 Season of the Witch.
Oh, okay. I remember hearing of that one. That's the one I've never seen. Have you ever seen Troll 2?
No.
There's actually a documentary about it as being the worst movie ever made. movie doc. And I watched the doc before I ever watched the actual movie itself. And they're like, oh my God, I got to watch this now because it's so horrible. And it is, it's fascinating. The doc is called Best Worst Movie. And it's all about this Troll 2 movie and how horrible it is, but it has a cult following because it's so bad.
I bet.
And then they do this like special screening of it and people come in from all over the place to meet these cast members who are just like normal people. Like they're like, I don't remember what they do, but they're just living normal lives. They're not stars. But they all were part of this horrible movie all these years later. And it's just interesting to see their perspectives on it. Like most of them realize just how bad it was, but there's one, like the director, like believes it was this like work of art and is so proud of it still. It's a fascinating and kind of Halloween-y dark one. Worth checking.
It's called The Best Worst Movie.
Best Worst Movie is the doc, and it's based on the film Troll 2. I just looked on YouTube and I found the doc. It's right there. Just if you want to watch it, it's good. It's a good one that just, you know, it'll suck you in and then you'll go in on a rabbit hole.
All right.
It's one of those. All right. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to listen to our show with no ads, Real Ghost Stories Online, you can do that on our premium channel on Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. That's our premium channel on the web, our old, old school of way of being an extra podcast person. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.